This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. As many as 5 million people ride the New York City subway on a typical weekday. It's the nation's largest underground transit system, and it's turning 100 years old. As part of our series marking the system's centennial, NPR's Margot Adler tagged along with one of the subway's 3,000 conductors.
From a subway platform, as you watch a train sliding into a station car by car, the conductor who peers out from a small cabin in the middle of the train looks unflappable. It's as if the job were a piece of cake, like a security guard you might find sitting in a building late at night. But if you watch a conductor from inside the train, it's a different story. There's constant motion, a need for poise, attention, and focus. Sheila Taylor has been a conductor for 17 years, and she is in control.
You know, my hands are always doing something, so this one turns the key, that one points to the indication board. You know, you're turning your head constantly because you have to observe to make sure that there's nobody caught in the doors.
At each station, Taylor has to open her window, turn on the public address system, make her announcement, look up and down the platform, and indicate to her partner, the motorman, that the train is ready to go.
The rhythm for the train is set. It's like tennis. You know, one hits back. And that's how it is, stop for stop for stop.
This is the 1-9 train. It's a local train, 10 cars long, that travels from the Bronx to the lower tip of Manhattan. It makes 37 stops in just 50 minutes.
This is 18th Street. 14th will be our next stop. Stand clear of the closing doors.
Taylor starts her shift after midnight. On some portions of the journey, almost every seat is taken by students, night workers, and regular folks. I'm surprised.
You know, it's after 1:30 in the morning, and we have a full car.
It's like rush hour. I was telling you, my first trip, it's like rush hour. The train is packed. This is the line that doesn't sleep. They're out. This first trip, you got to come in with your energy, because I work this one.
Taylor won't say her age. She could be in her 40s. She could be 50. When she began 17 years ago, few women worked as conductors. No longer. She may wear a man's uniform, but she says she believes in female accessories and has long, painted purple fingernails inside her gloves. She has a no-nonsense quality about her. Nothing escapes her notice.
The guy with the horrible cologne is getting on now.
This is 103rd Street, 96th next. Stand clear of the closing doors.
We pass a station where two homeless young adults are asleep in each other's arms. During her second run at 3 and 4 in the morning, she lets homeless people sleep on her train undisturbed unless they are, in her words, scratching or humming, if they have lice or smell too bad. If so, she tells them to get out of her car. Her cabin, the size of a telephone booth, is well stocked with equipment.
It's my light system, my air comfort, my buzzers. Then I have my own personal stuff. My Lysol, because, you know, for when they're humming. My equipment, because we have to have our safety vests and all that good stuff. So that's my work equipment. My tea with lemon is behind me for my throat.
And that tea with lemon, it protects the most powerful weapon she has.
This is the number one to South Ferry, 50th Street, our next stop. Stand clear of the closing doors.
Her voice compels. It even seduces. You could imagine her as a late-night radio DJ.
You carry a great power when you make those announcements. And if you're eloquent, you could sell them swampland if you had to, but it's all in how you give it to them.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have signals against us. We'll be moving shortly.
Sheila Taylor says she has never missed a day, and she says she would never have been able to do this job if she needed a full night's sleep. What's clear is that she loves every moment, and the people who ride her train love her. Every morning on her last trip, filled with commuters and schoolchildren, 4-year-old Shekiah Spear and her mom get on the train at 157th Street. When Shekiah gets off, she goes to the window to kiss Sheila goodbye. And if it's Friday, something special happens.
There's our Friday present.
What to say?
Thank you.
I love you. Have a nice weekend.
Say bye.
Bye.
For Shekiah's mom, Tasha Barnes, a goal of the morning is not missing Sheila.
Every morning we have to catch that train. We have to. And if we miss it, she goes, Mommy, her kiss. And she wants me to go to the next train station so she can give her a kiss and have to explain to her it doesn't work like that. And, you know, we'll do it tomorrow. She's giving her animal crackers this week. She had a colorful animal crackers.
Animal crackers.
I have never seen her in an unpleasant mood. Not one time.
Not all subway conductors have as much to do as Sheila Taylor. Some trains have automated announcements. and the shortest trains, like the Times Square shuttles, don't have a conductor. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority is experimenting with mechanized trains on one line. And although the MTA says conductors are not being phased out anytime soon, Taylor, who is also a shop steward for her union, says she worries that one day conductors will be a thing of the past.
I think just the fact that you have the human element makes it better for the passengers. You know, they feel safer. They know that if something really happens, they've got a person somewhere, either in the middle or in the front, that they can come to and say, well, this is happening up here, or that's happening.
From the moment she blesses her train, which she does at the beginning of every trip, to the end of her day, Sheila Taylor makes you think of another kind of conductor.
I set the rhythm of the train. If you're slow and you're not closing the doors, they respond to that. But I'm quick, and they know they have to move.
Working her shift is like conducting a symphony, although with people and stations instead of instruments. She determines movement, tempo, and time. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.